All right, we need a pandemic update from our NHL insider, Elliot Friedman. I was just given a tidbit by our producer, Logan. Where do we find you right now? You're getting a little activity in?
Yeah, I'm doing a little bike ride. So am I able to do two things at once? We're about to find out.
I've heard you tweet while you're on the air with us before. You can do this.
Yeah, but I've got the attention span of a flea when I do that. Like, you can obviously tell I'm not paying attention.
Okay, well, we'll see how it goes. I have a lot of confidence. I feel like you're discounting your multitasking abilities. So let's start here.
To live up to this.
Good. Okay, so the PGA has announced a tentative summer schedule, and the NFL had some draft, I guess, stipulations or at least a procedure in place. Either of these two directly influence some decisions the NHL will be making in the near future?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's possible everybody will be watching that NFL draft, just like everybody was watching the kind of the OHL draft online. Like, how did it work? And how does it work? Are we going to have any, like, who has the number one pick in the NFL? I can't even remember.
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. When they try to draft the quarterback from LSU, are the kids going to come running into the father's office to disrupt the pick? Like, we're all going to be watching. We're all going to be watching for that. So I think that the only comparison is, how do they do it? And are there any glitches or bugs that you look at and say, we can do that or we can improve on that? The golf thing, I mean, golf to me is a very different animal. It's outside. You can probably do it without fans if you really wanted to. I mean, God only knows where we're going to be in the summer. I would just like to say that my general rule of things right now is we're really going to not know anything until mid-June. So we're really 6 weeks away from knowing, you know, kind of where we stand and if we'll have any chance at sports in the summer, I assume, with no fans. So I think what you're seeing today is all these the golf tours are trying to say, look, if we get lucky enough to do some of this in the summer, this is going to be our schedule that nobody really knows for sure.
Elliot, you put something up on sportsnet.ca last night at about 7 o'clock Calgary time, and essentially talking about how the NHL is now starting to spitball some different scenarios. Some locations have been kicked around as well for how they could resume the regular season or the postseason. What can you tell us there, my friend?
Well, one of the things I heard was that one of the league and the Players Association started to, as you said, spitball some ideas in case, okay, if we can play in the summer, where do we go? And one of the names that's been thrown out, and I think they'll talk more this week, is North Dakota and in Grand Forks. And for those of you who are familiar with NCAA hockey, that's a really good program, the Fighting Hawks, as they are now called. And also, if you've ever been to that arena, whether for the World Juniors or under 18s or anything like that, it's an unbelievable arena. Someone sent me a video today where Zach Parise is standing in their dressing room and says, this is nicer than NHL dressing rooms. So it's a big facility. I think it's got two rinks, although one of them is an international rink, but it's got several. I think it's got like eight dressing rooms complete with their own medical rooms, things like that. It's a really state-of-the-art facility. So I think if it becomes a chance where they can play and you have to go somewhere where there's no fans and also you're looking for a place with not a lot of population density, and North Dakota certainly qualifies, that might be one of your places. Now, I have been told that the biggest thing about it that's a negative is the lack of hotel rooms. That if you have to put, I don't know, 4, 6, 8 teams there, whatever, it's going to be very hard to do that. But I think what it says is that they are looking, preparing, no guarantee, but I don't see anything wrong, Pat, with saying, all right, if we are ready, if we do get the green light, we got to be ready to go.
from what you've been told, and you mentioned this in the article, it's a quick read. Like, you can get through the article in about, depending on how fast you read. Me, it took about 6 minutes, but most people can do it in about 30 seconds. But it's an important article at sportsnet.ca. What one thing you mentioned was the population density. You mentioned how it's one of the lowest population densities in the United States. How important is that from the people you've talked to?
Well, I think that's a major reason that they're on the map, is that, you know, you're looking at some of the areas that are really dense, and like obviously the major cities, the major populous states, they're really flooded right now. Like I went online yesterday, North Dakota, and we all know there's issues with the testing, but they have 200 cases right now. They just went over 200. And, you know, that's a pretty low number for most places. So, and North Dakota is the third least dense state, fourth. Montana, Wyoming, and Alaska are lower. And I think it just makes a lot of sense. Like, if you're going to have to quarantine people and you're probably not going to be able to have fans come in, North Dakota makes sense from a population standpoint. Of course, they have to be willing to say, we'll host it. But, you know, there's a guy who covers hockey there. He's a really good reporter. His name's Brad Schlossman. He wrote a story today, and, you know, he's pretty plugged in there. And he basically says that North Dakota would do anything to have that happen. Now, there's a bigger question there, whether or not it's safe. Whether or not the various governments would allow it, but I could see, like, at least from a purely sports point of view, them saying, "What do you need? We'd love to do it."
And this is something that has fascinated me since this whole situation became a stark reality. But, you know, I've even looked at it. And I know that population density would be a little bit different, but I look at, you know, Alberta's doing a pretty good job right now, and you know, it looks like we're moving towards the point where the curve could be flattened here, and you know, we could be back to normal in a few months. Like, would Canadian cities, Calgary, Edmonton, would they be considered in a conversation like this because they've got the hotel availability?
I don't know. I mean, it's too soon. I think ideally, what I would believe, Pat, is that you want to play these games in their home cities, right? Or NHL cities, if you could. But we've got to be prepared for anything. So I honestly don't have the answer to that question, aside from, I think in a perfect world, you'd play at home if you could.
Okay. And it's funny, because this connects to something that you put in your 31 thoughts, which I believe is 34 thoughts this week. You published that on April 1st last week. So from a financial standpoint, if they are not able to play again, $1.1 billion would be the estimated losses. But if they can recoup some of that, if they can get playing again, those losses could be low as $220 million. That's a pretty big swing, hey?
Well, the playoffs are just huge. Like, you know, everybody jokes about how on the podcast I say I used to cover the NBA. I don't have as much knowledge anymore about the way the NBA functions as opposed to the NHL, but I am under the impression that the playoffs are much more significant financially in terms of the percentage of revenue in the NHL than they are in the NBA. And these would seem to indicate it. Now, the one thing that somebody has told me is, since I wrote that, and it's been, 5 days?
Yep.
The financial picture just of overall where we're going, it becomes more and more bleak. So it's possible that those numbers, even if we do play again, have moved. I don't know that for sure, but I've been warned not to continue quoting those numbers because it's possible that it moves. And, you know, I think the biggest uncertainty right now and the biggest question is, the NHL was very confident, Pat, in their next TV deal. I mean, what does this mean? We don't know. And the U.S. one is the one I'm talking about, and it's up after next year.
Yeah. Elliot Friedman is with us. Our NHL insider from Hockey Night in Canada joins us Mondays on Pinder and Steinberg.
Elliot, we know this is a very, very gate-reliant league relative to others.
Yep.
What do you, if this league is going to miss $1.1 billion, what percentage of that do you think is gate revenue? Because it's clearly significant.
Yes, but I don't know the answer to that question.
So when you had the estimates on numbers in terms of what the playoffs could bring, is that the assumption of fans in the seats or not? Because that to me is a massive swing, whether it is with or without, right?
No, I think that included fans in the seats, yes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, in terms of what you would lose, including fans in the seats.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm having a tough time with the gap being closed if there's no fans in the seats and that remains the biggest source of revenue for the league, if you know what I mean.
Well, I think there's no question about that. I think what you're hoping for is, I think what you're talking about is, as much as anything else, Ryan, is you're talking about the future as much. And also, don't forget, when those estimates were made, I don't know if anybody thought it was for sure that you wouldn't be able to play with fans. I think it's been a week now, and I think we're more certain that if we play, we're playing without fans. So that's why I said you got to be careful about quoting those numbers now, because they might have been accurate at the time, but who knows what's changed.
Yeah. Fair enough. Do you get a sense that there's a drop-dead date where the league will have to make up its mind on whether there is a continuation of this season or whether they say, okay, we're so far down the road, now we need to focus on making sure that 2021 isn't interrupted?
I did my Toronto hit earlier today, and I was asked the same question. The answer is, if there is one, I don't know about it, but you can do the math, okay? So right now, they're hoping to do a Stanley Cup tournament in sometime kind of August or September, and then play a full season next year. And I think what that would mean is, after the cup is awarded, you take 3 to 4 weeks off. I think the goal is 3, but it might be 4. You do all your off-season business, and you bring everybody back, and you start up again. No all-star game, no 5-day break, and kind of from there. And that's how you go with it. And so work your way backwards, Ryan. How late do you have to know about that? Is it July, June? Like I said, I don't think we're really going to know anything until middle of June. Like, if there's any chance of playing, like right now, like we're all guessing. Now, some mm-hmm. people have better information than others. Some people know more than others. Some are total crackpots. But are we really going to know until the middle of June? I doubt it. So I have a feeling around that time, we're going to know.
Yeah, fair enough. And I mean, the whole idea of sliding the schedule just has this incredible web of things you have to untangle. I'm fascinated to see if we do get a resumption, even if it's just a condensed playoffs, what the ripple effect is. Elliot Friedman does join us Mondays here on Pinder and Steinberg on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Mr. Friedman, I was interested in reading 31 Thoughts a few days ago, and you kind of talked about how draft prospects are doing interviews on the phone, and there's obviously not going to be a scouting combine this year, and we don't even know when the draft is going to take place. But it's interesting. The NFL draft's going to be virtual. The CFL draft's going to be virtual. I do some work at CFL.ca and was writing about this, but essentially right now CFL teams are getting home workouts emailed to them, videos emailed to them by potential prospects saying, here's my measurables, here's my weight, here's my height, here's my vertical jump, here's my, like, they're creative ways that agents and players are trying to get their information to teams. What are you hearing about how teams are trying to scout the 2020 NHL draft class?
Well, you're allowed to do phone interviews. Normally it would be dinner, but now you're doing the phone interviews. That's a good question, Pat. The one thing I heard was the phone interviews. I'll ask for that. That's a good question. I'll see if I can find out more in terms of,
okay,
you know, because in the NHL, you're not allowed to. That's why everybody's so mad at Arizona. You know, you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to physically test guys outside of the combine. So I'll find out if there's guidelines or rules that are going to be out there for people, because it's a really good question.
Do you have, I know we have no idea when the NHL draft would even take place because so much else has to be determined first, but have you been able to get a feel as to what that might look like whenever they decide it's going to happen? Like, would it be going back to the 70s when they did this thing on a conference call?
Well, I bet you, knowing us, because we're the rights holder for it, we'll want a TV component. So if it has to be on somehow, we're going to put it on television. At least I hope we would.
Yeah.
So I would assume it's going to be, I don't know if it's going to be teams in their offices or, you know, again, whoever gets the number one pick at home and, you know, how they do it from there and they interview the players that way. I don't think we know yet. But I would assume it's going to be, that's one opportunity. I know the other thing they've talked about is, do they do, remember after the lockout in 0405, they had a scaled down draft in Ottawa at a hotel there.
Okay.
I think there's a possibility of doing something like that in Montreal, if it's allowed, if it's possible. I know, I wouldn't be surprised. I know next year, the hope was the draft would be in Seattle with the expansion draft. And then maybe they'd go back to Montreal in June of 2022. But I think it's more likely this year we have an online draft with the possibility of a small one in Montreal. Then if everything works out, Seattle and Montreal again.
Okay. And a final one from me, Elliot, and that's just on the it's another piece of information from 31 Thoughts, but I thought it was kind of interesting. So the NHL working on a new transfer agreement with other leagues in Europe, correct?
Yes, that is basically done. It has not been approved yet by the Board of Governors, but there are agreements there. I heard that the league would be increasing the I heard the league would be increasing the amount that goes to a team once a player signs an NHL deal, but I heard it's slightly more complicated than that. I don't have my notes in front of me, so I can't remember exactly what I wrote, but I think there's three or four different criteria, including how much time a player has played with a particular club team.
Okay.
So but whatever the case is, they worked it out. Somebody told me, and I can't pin it down, that all the federations are mad at one particular federation, but I can't figure out which one it is.
Okay. He's Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada, every Monday with us here on Pinder and Steinberg.
Just quick follow-up. Would that include Russia, Elliot? Because they seem to be their own beast separate from a lot of the other European leagues traditionally in terms of how these agreements have gone with the league.
Somebody told me they thought so, but I don't know. Again, I don't know it for sure, Ryan. But somebody told me they thought that there was some level of Russian cooperation here. We'll find out for sure.
Okay. The latest in dealing with isolation, your pandemic buster in terms of books or TV shows, and finally, we'll need your assessment on how your multitasking's gone.
Well, I think you and your listeners would be better at telling me how I'm multitasking if I've been paying enough attention. I haven't been hit by anything, knock on wood, so I think that's pretty good. And I've maintained social distancing whenever someone cycles or walks near me. So I think that's been good, but you guys will have to tell. I finished I'm caught up on Homeland, which I think has been dynamite. I mean, I watched Tiger King, like everybody seems to have right now. I watched The Hunters on Amazon Prime. I'll tell you this. So I also watched a bunch of stuff like that. I will tell anybody out there who's never watched The Shield, now is your time. The Shield is the most underrated and unappreciated drama I've ever watched. It's 7 seasons. I will put the last episode of The Shield up against any finale in television history. So I'm recommending that. Now, the book I'm reading is The Ride of a Lifetime by Bob Iger, who's the chairman of Disney. I'm almost done. And next, we just got it today. It is The Oral History of The Office. And I'm going to read that.
Ooh.
So that would be based with the UK sitcom, the American one, or something totally different?
I think it's mostly the American one with some conversation about the British one.
Okay.
I love it. That's like you just killed a month for all of us out there. 7 seasons of The Shield.
Well,
okay.
That's what I'm here for.
Don't hit anything. Thank you for chatting as always.
Thanks, Elliot.
All right, guys. Take care. All the best, everyone.